Good evening and welcome to Phantom Access. Today is Tuesday, November 10th. I'm your co-host Karen, and my co-host Jamie is here on the line.
Hello.
Hi, Jamie. How are you?
How are you? Good, you?
Okay, thank you. Great to hear from you.
You too.
Tonight, it's just you and me. AJ's not going to be with us, right? Since he doesn't watch any Walking Dead shows anymore. And we just have the two shows, but we skipped a week, so two episodes of Fear, two episodes of World Beyond, right?
Right. What was you know what the name of the episode on Fear was, the first one? I forgot.
The Key. Last week was called The Key on Fear.
The Key, okay.
And this week was called...
That's fine. I'm just looking it up while I'm talking, because I don't looked up one. Oops.
Yeah, I guess we'll just jump right into it, huh?
Excuse me. Yeah, sure. Do you want to do Fear first?
Well, yeah. So last week's episode, The Key, was a John Dory-centric episode. It showed us what John is doing, which basically Ginny's making him kind of be a cop, kind of be a detective, really. So in the beginning, he's more sort of just like a guard who stands and sits at a table all day or whatever, right?
Right.
But he gets to use his pre-apocalypse cop skills to solve a crime, sort of a crime. I mean, it looks like a suicide, and then it looks like a murder, and then it looks like Ginny's covering it up, right? So,
right.
How'd you like this episode?
I thought it was nice to get to see him. I know that they got them all separated, and like I get it, but I kind of miss them all being together. But because each episode's very self-contained. But that being said, I mean, I thought it was a good episode. I think it was obvious from the beginning that girl was going to die at the end. But I had kind of figured that either. His name Strand or the guy from House, I can't think of his name, the rabbi guy, I'd figured one of them moved it up because it was, you know, they didn't want him to die, which is kind of more important. It's like she was going to die no matter what, so I get that he wanted to save her, but for him to risk his life and potentially his wife's life was kind of dumb. I mean, he's right with what he said. She probably wouldn't have per se punished June because she needed her, but she could have not killed her and still, you know, treated her like shit. But we had talked about the week before how I had said about how they seem to be people that will follow in line if it'll help each other. Like, they're not like wild cards so much as like Strand or Alicia. And I think that that's why she trusted him to do that job. And I also think that's why at the end she let him see June, because I feel like she realized that he was going to work to see her anyway, but he wasn't, like, trying to escape or anything. Like, they were passing back and forth notes and that, but it wasn't making him not listen. And I think that with them, it probably makes them more compliant. If they're together, it could, because I think they'd be more worried about each other if they know what's going on, you know what I mean? And she can use them as a threat. So, you know, he did what she wanted, and he, even though he knew that girl didn't do it, he did let it go like she needed him to. So, she did what she wanted, and she gave him a gift, I guess you could say.
Or a bribe.
I feel like that girl, do you see that girl in other show more often, though? I feel like
Janice?
We've seen her before, other than just washing clothes. What was she in the before they got captured?
Well, I don't know. I wondered if we saw her at the molasses plant with the molasses zombies, and maybe she was reassigned.
Yeah, I thought she was one of the ones that got in trouble. That's why I thought maybe at first they were going, when we first started the episode, I thought maybe they were going back a little bit, and that was why she got in trouble for passing along his letters. But she, I guess, told Ginny all along she was passing along the letters, so.
So it was kind of convoluted. So I liked this episode. I thought it was kind of a high point of the season, or a high point of like the three shows lately. I kind of agree with you that I often prefer to see our main characters together in a way that, you know, advances the storyline. But I thought this was, you know, this episode was basically a character study.
Yeah.
And it was so well done that it didn't bother me that it, like, I think had this been poorly done, it would really have felt a lot slower and bothered me as maybe a waste of my time when I'm more interested in the, you know, larger deal. But I thought it was a really well done, like, look at John. And it was kind of interesting how John, like he kind of likes it there, right? Like, he was kind of settling in. And he's writing these letters to June, and he's saying, oh, I really like having a job, and I feel like I'm really doing something here, and talks about
and
his father and everything.
And that probably helped him, too, to know he's not planning to run away. He's not, like, writing her, let's figure out what we can do. Like, he's, you know,
well,
they're still listening.
Well, that's true. You're right. But I felt like he wasn't necessarily only just saying that for June. Like, I kind of
I think
right?
that showed her she could trust them, I guess, is what I'm saying. Like, she knew they weren't trying to run away. Yeah.
Well, and Ginny says that at some point. She's like, you know, when Ginny confronts John and admits that she's read his letter, she's like, no, this is how I know that I can trust you and you're part of the, you know, system here and whatever.
Yeah, she also might have gotten an inkling that he wanted to. I'm wondering if, like, when he knew that girl wasn't guilty, if she probably got an inkling that he had wanted to do something he shouldn't when they rushed it ahead, and maybe she thought, too, that this would also help to ground him and keep him there by giving June back.
I mean, she's using him, and I think that I think that part of this was about, you know, she's reading his letters, which it interested me that Janice had betrayed him in that way. Like, Janice was interesting because, you know, she's passing John's letters, and so she seems to be a rebel. Maybe she wasn't the girl at the molasses plant, but she seems to be someone who's, like, you know, working against Ginny. But then it turns out she's like, giving the letters to Ginny. She's, you know, she's betrayed John, and she's actually, like, part of Ginny's system.
Well, she's probably more scared for her own life. I don't know that she did it specifically.
Well, we don't really know. You're making an assumption reading. Like, we don't know if she's. You don't know. I don't know. I shouldn't have made that assumption, and you can't make an assumption
either,
I guess, about what motivates her. But at any rate,
the other
where I'm going with this. Go ahead.
No, I was just. I also kind of wondered in the episode if maybe. And after it seemed like she must have, but I kind of almost wondered if maybe that girl didn't give her the letters, but Ginny said that so he would not be on her side. But it seemed in the end like she must have, since she, you know what I mean? Like, I thought maybe at first Ginny had actually taken them and the girl didn't know it, and she was just blaming it on her. But I think she probably did give it to her. Sorry, go ahead. I just wanted to put that out there. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I mean, that's interesting. I felt like... Either way, Ginny tells John that Janice has betrayed him.
Right.
Ginny, John, Janice, June. Everybody's got a J in this episode. So Ginny tells John that Janice has been sharing the letters, and John has to take it at face value and believe it, right? Like, whatever.
Right.
But, so I felt like, so aside from, the mystery was kind of like, did she or didn't she, who killed this guy and why, it kind of doesn't really,
matter. Didn't
like, it was sort
matter.
Of, it was
yeah.
a red herring, right? It's like, who was this guy, who cares, whatever. I felt like it was really about, like, so in the beginning, John is like, I kind of feel like I'm, like maybe Ginny's not all bad, or like, okay, maybe Ginny's bad, but what she's built here is maybe not all bad, like Lawton is like a community and he feels useful, right? But by the end of it, he realized, like, he's being used by, he's part of, like, a broken system or, like, a corrupt system. Like, as I'm watching this, I felt like it was reflecting the way some of us feel about politics today and the way, politics in some countries. In some countries, the system is fully corrupt and you're a part of it and you're co-opted by it, and now John's a part of it, right? And Ginny, like, throughout this episode, Ginny is using John. She's one step ahead of John. John never isn't always like the brightest bulb on this Christmas tree, right? Like, he's a good guy with a good heart, but he's not the guy you would put in charge of making a plan, right?
Yeah, like, it almost would have been better. Like, I almost feel like it would have been better in the beginning if he had just dropped it and said it was a suicide or an accident or whatever. Like, I think in that back about it, if he hadn't pursued it and tried to get that justice, the justice wouldn't have been perverted, per se, because that girl never would have died. So that's interesting. Like, I'm thinking of it now. I hadn't thought about it till now, but I think that's kind of an interesting way to look at it. Like, if he had just let it go, things would have been better off in the first place. You know, because that guy was already dead. Like, what were they? But I understand he didn't want a killer running around either, and neither did she. But you would think, though, if she doesn't want somebody running around, that maybe she would have cared a little bit more who the actual killer was. I think that she cared in a way that they were safe, but I think she just more wanted everybody to feel safe, and it wasn't the top priority, I guess.
Yeah, there's that line. You just made me think of that line where, you know, Ginny says it's really important that people feel safe, and John says, yeah, that is important, but it's more important that people should actually be safe.
They are safe, yeah.
But, like, Ginny, like, not, like, for, there was a point in this episode where I felt like maybe Ginny killed this guy or had this guy killed or knew who killed him or whatever, and then it takes a while to realize, right, then it turns out that it doesn't matter. The mystery is not really a, it's sort of like John
freaking out.
Yeah. I didn't love the bit with John's toothache. I felt like that was a little bit too on the nose as a metaphor for, like, John's got this nagging feeling that's bothering him about this case that's, you know, bothering him, and then we see the tooth bothering him. And then Ginny's like, you can get that fixed. But John, like, John... Yeah, but John doesn't go the official normal way that you... I mean, I don't even know why he doesn't have June. Like, June's a nurse, at least. But by the end of it, John pulls it by himself. And I'm not even really sure how I want to say what it means.
Yeah, you're not sure what it's a metaphor for, but it has
meaning.
But it's
a metaphor for something, right?
Yeah.
I didn't...
Yeah.
So I felt that was... And you just knew. Like, the first minute that his tooth hurt, you just knew he was going to pull it out by himself before the end, right?
We were cringing because my mom had literally, I think, like a day before that was when she just got her tooth pulled. got it cut out, but still got it removed. And her face is all swollen. She's in pain. And it's like, I don't want to say this. It's just cringy. Yeah, but yeah, you kind of knew it was probably going to come out at some point, especially if he's giving his candy away. He doesn't want to lose his candy.
Yeah. So what did you think of Strand in this episode?
This is, again, where I think that Strand is smart and maybe doesn't always do the most moral decision making, but I mean, I think it was more important that John was safe, and I mean, what he did was horrible, but I kind of don't think it was necessarily wrong, because I mean, he's like not really thinking about June either. He's like, well, they won't hurt June because she's a doctor, but what about what he's doing would do to June? You know, like, she'd be devastated. And I don't think he's quite thinking that through. So, and that woman was willing to give up her life, too. I think she knew that John was a good guy, and she didn't want him to do that either. And that's why she admitted it, because she knew she was going to die anyway. Like, why take him down with her, you know? So.
Well, she was, like, depressed, and she'd lost everything, and Ginny was going to kill her anyway. Like, if Ginny didn't, like,
make a
scene of killing her this way, which I had forgotten the way Ginny kills her. Like, Ginny tells John this story about how horrible it was to see this woman killed by, like, being tied up with the walkers, and then that's exactly how Ginny kills her, right? Which, if John was smarter and could read Ginny better, he might have seen that that was not a story, that was a warning.
Yeah, that's true.
In retro, I mean, I didn't catch it as a warning either.
In retrospect,
until later, but,
No, I didn't.
I agree with you. Like, Strand... Definitely this episode, this season, Strand is the guy that's going to do what he has to do to save his people. And if other people have to die, then so be it.
And it's actually other people he's saving, too. It's not even himself, which is, I think, what makes it more interesting. Because he's actually thinking about other people, even if he's not necessarily going the right road to doing it. Even when he killed that other guy before and threw him to the walkers, I mean, to some extent he did it to help
Alicia.
What's her face and the other ones there? Yeah, Alicia and the other ones there. So it's kind of interesting.
I mean, I do think this is more like the real Strand. Like, last season was so horrible with all the characters being mini Morgans and being like, we're not going to kill people and we're going to be, good and redeem ourselves or whatever and make up for what we did. Like, that's not who Strand is.
No, definitely not.
Although,
I mean, I like Strand being
the
good guy, but... It also works this way, and
but
long
he's
as
but he's
not
being like
them.
Kind of morally he's being morally questionable, being like the good guy,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And also, like, here's the thing about Strand. In the end, Strand always protects himself, right?
Yeah,
and
still. But
do
just
you
think
think
about it. I mean, what did he do bad? Like, that girl was going to die anyway. He knew she was going to die. The only thing he really did, even though it's a horrible thing, the only thing he really did was stop John from getting in trouble and him ending up dead and June ending up hurt,
but from
because
John,
he knew that girl was going to die. No,
from
John's
John's point of
perspective,
view,
maybe not, but from our point
he
of view.
stopped. From John's point of view, John thinks he could have saved Janice, right?
Yeah, but he was never going to save her.
Well, we know that because
He
we're the
doesn't know that.
audience,
Yeah, no,
but
I know.
like, and you know, Strand always makes the most cynical decision, and
Right.
assumes the worst, which you need someone like that, right? But it'll be interesting to see how this. So two things: Strand is becoming like more and more powerful in Ginny's place, and do you think Strand is like going to start liking it? Like maybe Strand is going to be
Like
power
power
hungry
too
and want to
much?
stay there. Well, if she gives
Yeah,
Strand a nice
I don't know.
house and gives him power and gives him all the stuff, right? Like, I don't, maybe he, we've seen Strand do stuff like this before. It's hard to know how much of this is a con he's playing on Ginny and how much she's kind of into it, right?
I think it's
I mean,
both, but will he
ultimately,
stay with them and let the other people leave? I don't know.
No, because I believe he has total loyalty to Alicia, right? Like, his total
Yeah.
loyalty is to Madison, and he will always protect Madison's daughter, I think, right?
Yeah, that's true.
But he was very, I mean, he's very, it's interesting to me how, now could Ginny, like, so I still think Ginny is a boring and terrible character and villain. She's not really that scary, right? She doesn't like maim and injure people like Negan. We haven't actually seen her really kill, I mean, she tried to kill Morgan and she failed at it. But she's not really that
I don't mind her. I'd
scary.
rather not see somebody who's killing people all the time like he was.
Okay, but I'd rather see someone who's
I'd
actually
rather be
scary.
like more
Like,
calm. But no, I know what you mean. She's not as scary. You're right.
But you know, Strand, I don't know. We'll see what happens with Strand there. And it'll be interesting to see how this version of Strand will get along with Morgan. Because the decisions Morgan is making, like, Morgan also is way better, right? And Morgan now, and we'll, in the next episode we'll talk about it, Morgan now also is more like, if people have to die, then they have to die. There's no more this,
but
like,
we're
we don't
going to do
kill,
everything
we're
we
good
can
people.
To stop them from dying first, which makes sense.
Yes,
I mean,
yes. Yeah, Morgan will
that's
do
the way
it. And he did. Did he kill those two? So this is, we should talk about Morgan. This is the episode where those two guys crashed their car into his, right?
Trying to remember.
Okay, I think
car.
It is.
What happened
yes, it
to
is.
Car? Remind me. When we go through it and I'm looking at it in order, I'll probably remember. But I'm thinking, what is
okay,
this about a car?
So Morgan is, he has taken Emile's car, which the last time we saw Emile's car was when he left it by the side of the road and went into his, when they abandoned it. Like, we did see Morgan and, who's the dead guy whose wife had a baby two episodes ago? Morgan and that
yeah,
guy were in Emile's
name.
Car and they left it. Anyway, he's back in Emile's
car. Yeah, he took
car,
the car and the dog, yeah. Thanks,
and so, I don't know where the dog is, but he was just with the car. So, he's driving the car, and this other car comes driving up the highway and rams him, like, sideways. Which, I don't know how you don't see in the entire apocalypse. There's no cars. You haven't seen a car for, like, years, probably. weeks. And then somehow a car T-bones you in the middle of Texas.
He takes the key. You're right. I forgot about
well,
that.
Well, it
now
turns
I know
out
what
it's the
about.
Two it's the two guys who were spray-painting the submarine in the opening episode, in the season premiere. And they're like, where's Emile?
Are they spray painting a submarine?
And
I thought they were spray painting a wall. I didn't know they were actually spray painting the submarine.
It was a submarine.
So
we talked about this.
It
was the side of a
submarine.
We talked about this.
No, no,
we
I knew the submarine
this. We were like,
was there, but
no, no.
I didn't realize that's what they were painting, is what I'm saying. Like, I thought that was a separate. Never mind. It doesn't matter.
Yes.
But
yeah,
I,
the
I
season
didn't
premiere, they spray
painted
the. Okay, anyway, it's those guys, right? And so here's where the whole show is stupid again, because in the entirety of Texas, they run into Morgan, right? And they literally run into Morgan in Texas, and it's Emile's car. So if they think it's Emile, why do they ram him? They don't know Emile's dead. Like, Emile's, like,
true.
Ginny has Emile's chopped off head. They don't. So
you're
if
right.
It's Emile's car, and why do they, I mean, and he's wearing Emile's hat. He's driving Emile's car, and he's, okay, so I don't want to say, like, all black people look alike, because they don't, but they're driving a, like,
no, you're
unless
right.
They've been
away,
following
they
Morgan around
Texas.
Texas, he's wearing Emil's coat and his hat and carrying his weapon and driving his car. So I don't know why they ram him. And they're like, they probably don't know who Ginny is. So this also made no sense either, because they're like, where's Emil? And Morgan says, like, well, you should ask Virginia knows where Emil is. And they go, who's Virginia? And so this is a problem with a show where, like, every single person in all of Texas is terrified with Ginny, and she can find you anywhere with her super powerful walkie-talkies. And these two guys have never heard of Virginia. Like,
yeah, and that confused me, because I thought that maybe these were the people Virginia was scared of when that actress had said somebody she was. But I wonder if she means the people that Sherry's with. I don't know either, but... But, yeah, I don't know. It seems strange that they know Emil, but they don't know her. But maybe they came from Texas. I don't know.
Well, and, yeah, well they were in Galveston, which I guess Galveston is outside of Ginny's territory, but Emil knew them both, and they have now made it, like, it just, like, the whole thing kind of made no sense. And then in the end, they get killed, which was interesting because they're not going to be characters, and we're not going to, whatever, Morgan kills them in kind of an awesome way. Like, wasn't that, did you see when he cut that guy and his guts fell out of his belly?
Yeah.
That was
great.
Awesome. It'll be,
yeah, but he got the key, which I think was the whole point of it. But yeah,
well, Morgan realized the key's important at this point. Right.
Right.
He's like, what do you unlock?
Right.
I mean, the whole thing seems a little bit silly that if they've been following Morgan around, these two don't seem crafty enough that they've been following Morgan around. But
yeah,
also,
not
it's kind of crazy
anyway.
That they would.
Maybe when it
right.
was, maybe a meal they were falling, but.
And they just randomly run across his car and recognize. I mean, the whole thing was all crazy. I was surprised those two were dispatched. So, I mean,
that quick,
they were
yeah.
killed. They're also terrible fighters, which amazes me that they managed to live this long. Like, nobody who's still alive should be a terrible fighter.
Yeah.
All the people who
true.
Can't fight should have been dead by now, except for the stupid kids in World Beyond.
Yeah. Well, they just left, if nothing else. So they have an excuse.
Yes, yes. So there was that, but... Morgan killed two humans that I've been thinking about it, which was kind of awesome. I feel like old Morgan is back a little bit.
I hadn't really thought about that until you mentioned I had forgotten about it. And that's the other thing, too, is the dog... Because that's what I was saying about the dog. That is, I thought, was the dog that Emil had, like, the bloodhound.
It was, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It was.
But then they had the other dog later in the episode, and I got confused. But
how Emil's dog can smell anyone in the entire state of Texas from inside a car is beyond me, but...
Well, he was giving him the scent, but yeah, I agree. But I'm like, how is a dog that smart? That was my comment that came out of it. The dog's like, he's going to wreck, I'm going to climb down at the bottom of the seat, so I'm all nice and safe. Because that was so, like, ridiculous. It was cute, but it was ridiculous. But Doggy was okay. That's all Jamie cares about. The Doggy was okay. Morgan could have bit it, but as long as the dog okay,
yeah.
But, yeah, you're right.
Anyway, I don't know what else have we failed to discuss in this pretty good episode.
No, it was, like I said,
it's really an excellent episode.
I mean, it was a good episode, but I don't know that anything... overarching
yeah.
really
I mean, it was,
happened.
It was a good little bit of writing and story. Some of it was good writing. Not all of it was. I mean, this show suffers from some bad writing, but it was like the John Dory part of it was good. Like, you know, there's some Virginia's bad and some other stuff is bad, but in general it was, you know, and like I said before, it's a masterpiece compared to some of the crap we had to watch for the last two seasons.
This is true.
So, yeah. So that takes us, speaking
all
of
right.
crap... That takes the next episode. I don't know if I would call it crap, but the next episode
it
is not nearly as good.
It had a lot of problems,
good.
So.
mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know. I'm not sure exactly how I felt about it. Like, I mean, it had its moments, but the fact that Sherry's been with this group the whole time, I mean, I thought it was pretty obvious that what was coming. Even whenever he went into the room and he's like, Sherry, and she's not there. I'm like, she's totally with them. So it was very obvious from the beginning. I thought it was interesting he met back up with that, whatever his name was, Rolly, and we discussed that he was the guy that he let go before. But the fact that she's like, I'm going to tie you up too because I'm not going to let you become like the man you were, blah, blah, blah. And then in the end, she doesn't do it anyway, and Morgan gets his way. I don't know. It just seems like because in the end they're doing it the way Morgan wanted. Like, what was the point of the episode? I don't know. It just... I don't know. Like, it's not that nothing happened. It just didn't seem, in the scheme of things, it just was kind of weird and didn't really fit.
Yeah,
I mean,
there was a
that.
Bunch of weaknesses of this. This episode was, if the previous episode was one of the, was maybe, so this was episode 5 or 6, right?
I don't know. 5, it says.
So, 5. So, if John Dory, the key, number 4, was the best of the 4, this kind of is the worst of the 5. It doesn't make it as bad
yeah.
as what we've seen in the past from this group.
Yeah, I mean, it was still okay.
But,
it just could have been better. And the fact that just because the guns shoot higher, they can run along the side of the MRAP truck and nobody gets shot, that was kind of a long shot. But that was the other thing that irritated me. I mean,
well,
I didn't care because I didn't want the horses to get shot. But I'm just saying.
Well, and then I'm supposed to believe that thing can't run faster than a horse. So maybe because it's armored, I believe.
Run that long, that fast.
Like, maybe it's slow because it's armored, but these are not racehorses or horses. Like, where do they even get these horses? Like, everybody's got a walkie-talkie. Like, everybody just has horses when they need them. Just because it's Texas. I mean, I've been to Texas. Cool. There weren't, like, millions of horses walking around everywhere, right? And
there
almost all the horses we see on the show.
No, you're right.
Horses get eaten by walkers all the time on this show also. Horses have demonstrated their inability to evade walkers on
yeah,
this show.
But
how many horses have been eaten? Of course,
cars, so.
They're always being ridden by people. Maybe a horse left alone would get away, but I feel like
yeah.
these are like also, everybody's an excellent horse rider. Like, what did Dwight have time to become able to ride a horse alongside a speeding vehicle and climb up the side of it? Like, this is some serious trick riding, right?
Yeah.
It was kind
too.
Of cool, but it was kind of cool. It felt very much like an old cowboy movie where they're robbing the stagecoach or the train or whatever,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, you're right. Mm-hmm.
But I think you're right that why couldn't that guy just swerve and, like, smash them off the road
yeah.
or whatever. Because he's an idiot. Actually, I will say that guy's inexperienced at driving the MRAP. Like, the best driver is Hal, right?
Yeah,
no one drives that
course,
MRAP
yeah.
like Hal does. So this guy's been driving
yeah.
the MRAP for like a week, so I can see why he might not be good at it, maybe.
I'd say to me the best scene, and really the only part that stuck out to me thinking back about it, is when Morgan meets up with them. And they all
mm-hmm.
find each other. I thought that was a good scene. I enjoyed, but the rest of it, yeah. Even like Dwight,
I mean,
like
that
he was saying, acting like he was going to kill that guy with the dog, and he wasn't. And I don't know. It just
yeah.
the whole thing. There was something else I was looking for that I don't remember what it was that I haven't found yet. But I don't know. Like, I feel like it was just a wasted episode. I don't know why, but,
know.
Like, in the, like I said,
I
in
know.
The end, they went by what Morgan wanted anyway, so what was the whole point?
I know. I don't even know how Morgan got
group.
There, because a big point was made multiple times that they're outside of Ginny's territory and they weren't supposed to go that far, and yet Morgan finds them. I guess Morgan must have a walkie-talkie that he's listening to also, because I don't know how Morgan
well,
found
maybe.
Them at the
he
perfect moment,
tell.
Although it was a great...
He might have
great.
Had it from
it Amelia cool.
or whatever, though, before. Because remember,
yeah.
he called her and said, "I'm dead. Morgan's dead,"
uh-huh.
or whatever.
Yeah.
So.
I
and also, if
I,
you're telling somebody that you talk to all the time, somebody saved your life, wouldn't you mention their name at least once?
I know. Like, wouldn't he have said to like, he is reunited with Sherry. They must have, it's like they never told each other what they were doing. He never mentioned this guy, Morgan. Like, was Morgan not in Alexandria when Sherry was there? Was in the sex? I don't know. At any rate, you think you'd mention
there
then I met this guy Morgan.
I think that he was gone. I think she was gone. But I just mean when that guy, that Rolly or whatever, was like, this guy saved my life. He never at one point said his name was Dwight, that she would have noticed and said,
oh
might be my Dwight, you know?
I mean, that's another thing that you know, those people from Tanktown are now Raleigh. I mean, it's kind of interesting that they brought him around and that Dwight letting him live. Like, I'd forgotten about it until you said to me, isn't that
yeah.
guy that Dwight, you know, he texted me about it. It's nice that has a payoff 2 seasons later, although it is kind of crazy that he bumps into this one perfect person. I was a little surprised. So I'm not surprised that Sherry and Dwight had problems, because this show does not allow none of the Walking Dead shows allow couples to be happy, right? Like, there is no happy ending for couples on the Walking Dead,
no,
and apparently
Dawn
there's not on Fear the Walking Dead
most,
either.
I think out of all of them.
Yes. Yes. And so, but I was surprised that it happened within one episode, that they found each other and broke up within one episode, right? That was a little fast. And I mean, it was all very fast, the way Dwight, like, you know, Dwight's willing to, Sherry's, like, crazy desire to kill Virginia is a little unexplained. She hasn't really explained any trauma that Virginia created for her, and then it appears that, it really what she wants to do is kill Negan, right?
Yeah, it's kind of like it makes her feel less powerless, I guess, if she kills her this time, because she couldn't do anything for Negan.
I mean, she said to Dwight, I could have done something I never did, and Dwight's like, no, you couldn't. She's like, yes, I could have. So,
yeah,
I guess
no,
the way Dwight... like, so much is made of Dwight's arc over two seasons now. This is the third season Dwight's been on. However long Dwight's been on Fear, he's been on this, like, long redemptive arc to, like, deal with what he did in the past and become this sort of better person, and how quickly he reverts to a very violent, torturing kind of person. And it's about...
He said he would never actually do
Sherry,
it, but we don't
right?
really know whether he would have or
it's
not.
Well, he might have. It's really about Sherry. Like, he's trying to protect Sherry, and he's rushing this because it's what Sherry wants. And if, like, Sherry can just kill Virginia, then he can be with Sherry. It was all... Like, I felt like Dwight had a real air of desperation around him through this entire episode, and I didn't like it.
Right. They just found each other, and... Yeah, I just said I didn't really love the episode. I mean, it wasn't necessarily anything specific. It just seemed like I said, in the end, they ended up, like, the whole point of the episode was we're going to kill Ginny. And he's like, no, you're not going to kill Ginny. And in the end, they decide not to anyway. So it was like the whole episode had no point, kind of. I don't know how they were dumb. That's how I feel right now.
Well, and Morgan was 100% right. Morgan was like, you're not going to win. And then she's going to kill everyone you love, right? And Morgan's like, you're not going to get my friends killed and your friends Dwight. And Sherry's like, well, I don't know them. I don't care. It was kind of interesting. We just talked about in the previous episode with Strand and Morgan being willing to kill people when it's necessary. But if it's not necessary, Morgan's like, look, you're going to get her to be killed, and you're not going to kill. Like, you have horror. Like, Morgan's right. I think Morgan's
like,
right. They could not.
No, he's like, I'll
Ginny.
Help you kill her if we need to do that in the end. But first, we're going to save everybody. So he was like, let's have this smart.
And they probably wouldn't be able to kill her, and she didn't show up, which, surprise, surprise, of course she didn't show up. Why would you have your leader show up there, right?
Oh,
like, all Dwight says
is,
oh, Ginny needs to see this. Oh, yeah, like, she's going to come, right? And then you're going to kill all those guys. And we already know that apparently everybody in the state of Texas is afraid of Ginny, and she can find you anywhere, so.
Yeah, that was what I wanted to ask you about, though. I remember now that you said that finally. I'm thinking, I don't know, my idea was kind of like that they should have called Ginny's guys back and been like, hey, this happened, blah, 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 this is why we weren't there, because they could go be spies inside her camp. But then I got the idea or the understanding from the episode, I definitely could tell they did it to Al, but I guess the other one was supposed to look like Dwight. They're pretending they're both dead then? Is that, okay, that's what I took out of it, but I couldn't tell for sure. That guy didn't look like he was dressed like Dwight. So I'm like, I'm kind of confused, but they used Al's clothes.
Yeah.
That must have been the point of that.
The one had Al's clothes
and
they were bashing the face in. It's funny that they bash the face in and then stab it through the head. I'm like, why don't you stab it through the head and then bash its face, which would be so much safer and easier.
Couldn't they tell it wasn't Dwight, though? I mean, because of all the scars, I thought maybe that. I guess if they smashed the face in. By the way, what happened to that guy? Did he get away? I can't remember. The one that was in the MRAP. The guy that they were gonna torture.
No, that's the guy that Morgan.
In
the end, I think he left him there as a prisoner. I think he's still there. Prisoner.
Okay, well, they showed somebody dead on the ground. I didn't know if that was supposed to be him, but they never really said.
I can't remember.
If he makes it back, if he does, he knows Dwight betrayed them. But if they think he's dead,
well,
I guess it really doesn't matter.
I think the major flaw is that if Al and Dwight turned, they would be very fresh walkers that don't look that, like, all the walkers now are practically like skeletons. They've been walkers for like 10 years, right? Or 6 years since they all died or whatever.
Maybe not so smart.
And
who knows?
I really think.
No, I don't know.
Okay. I think that's saying the viewers aren't smart, right? Like, that's a flaw. Like, a fresh walker has always been really obvious from an old walker. And so those were not.
I hadn't thought about it till you said it, but you're right.
Particularly fresh. Well, anyway, so it makes me think if Ginny will fall for it or not. If I was writing the show, I'd make Ginny not fall for it. I'd misdirect that Ginny.
Oh, yeah, I know.
But they did it. Also, if Ginny can never find you where you're going, then why do you have to do this? But whatever. That was a little.
Well, it was so she'd quit looking, probably. I mean, if she thinks
yeah. What'd you think of the Halloween the Scream mask they were wearing? I thought it was a waste. I thought in the beginning it was kind of cool. Like, I felt like, oh, we're watching the Halloween episode. This is Scream.
Right.
This is Halloween. Then it turns out to be the Western episode.
Yeah, and the thing is it didn't even hide Dwight's face because you could see a scar coming out of it. That's what I kept thinking. Like, why didn't he put a hood up or something? But,
I also think, where did they find an unlimited supply of these identical masks? Like, I guess they broke into a Halloween store, which is fine, but I think it would have made, like, to me, it would make more sense if they had all different kind of Halloween masks, and they were like, yeah, we got these from there's a Halloween store, take one, right?
Yeah, like in X-Files when they broke into the bank, and there's, like, a werewolf and a vampire.
Yeah.
No,
like,
I see
like
what you're
saying.
Two
lines of dialogue could sometimes explain stuff and make it more reasonable on this show than just be like, you know what would be cool? They look like, we think they're serial killers, but it turns out they're good. And not really any, like, one thing about Fear the Walking Dead is any plot twist will have the supplies without being explained where they came from. Also, in this episode, I was thinking, where do all the bullets keep coming from in the MRAP? Like, the number one best thing Walking Dead ever did was when they made a point of having Eugene, like, figure out how to make bullets and have a bullet factory. It happens in the comic book, and it happens at the sanctuary, and Negan has him making bullets. And it makes total sense. And I'm like, where are they getting all these, like, specialized bullets for the MRAP?
Negan was selling them across the country somehow. He was trading with them.
Oh, maybe. Yes, maybe they got them from Negan, or maybe they busted into a CRM place and stole them.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, you're right.
But
those are kind of those things, the dumb things they don't think about.
Yeah,
but
it was just a little. It was just a. I mean, this episode was kind of sloppier than last week's episode, right?
Yeah.
With some things that sometimes the writers are like, I just felt like I could just see like a bunch of like, I don't know. You know how we used to joke? We used to draw pictures of the guys in the Lost writers' room getting high and being like, it'll be cool. There's a cabin and a kind of rocking chair. And I feel like I'm seeing a bunch of like guys with beards sitting around saying, "You'll be cool." Scream masks.
We don't know why or where they got them, but
and they don't really work. But anyway, I did read. So I didn't read a lot of interviews about this, but I did come across one interview that Entertainment Weekly did with the three showrunners of the three shows, I think it was. And they did say, this is no surprise, this is not a spoiler, we expect this, that Sherry is still going to be a part of the rest of the season. Sherry's not. Like, they didn't just break up and Sherry's gone.
Oh, yeah.
Sherry will be.
Well, they
just
brought her back. I kind of figured that.
Well, it better be, because, like Dwight's driving force of leaving Walking Dead and coming to this show was to find Sherry, and he's like I it's just hard to believe that Dwight would be like, okay, Sherry, you're right, you need your space, let me get away from you now. And
yeah,
like,
I mean, I could see in the end them two going off
you
together, but they'd have to be,
I can't believe they'd separate after being together for like a week. Like, there's a point where Dwight says it's been about a week since he found her, and I just, if they're really maybe Sherry doesn't love him anymore. It was Sherry who left him and told him not to follow her, and then she left all the notes.
Because that was my other question to you. Did it seem like, I thought after they'd been so far, like, long apart, and they had to find each other, and they were deeply in love, I felt like they didn't really seem to be that much in love for somebody who was gone that long. I mean, they have changed.
No.
Granted, she had been sleeping with Negan and all that, so things were different. But I just felt like they didn't seem that happy to be around each other. They were more concerned with fighting with each other. And I don't know. Something about it just didn't ring true
on
that side.
Especially since I feel like for someone like Dwight, who has spent literally years pursuing this, like, I feel like Sherry's been built up in his mind to be this perfection. Like, you know, you're married, there's things that your spouse does that annoy you, you forget about it. Like that they should so quickly get on each other's nerves. I mean, they are different people or whatever, but that he would so quickly give up and be like, okay, you're right, let me just give you yours. And not, he didn't really seem to fight for their marriage in that moment, you know? But then in the end, now he's writing, he makes the he makes the infinity sign, and it's sweet, and it's also dumb. And also, that is a map for Ginny to fucking follow you, Dwight. Like, Ginny can figure that shit out. If Ginny can, like,
yeah, that's true.
Help me
know he wasn't dead if she starts seeing those symbols and figures out what they are.
Yeah, I feel like it was a little, I don't know. I mean, yeah. But she's going to be, I mean, he gave up a little easily, but I guess she's, you know, this idea of, like, I'm a better person. Don't be the person you were. I'm going to be the person I want to be. You're the person, like, she needs, like, Sherry's got some work to do on herself.
Yeah, but also kind of
which
feel like if they love each other that
done,
much, figure it out. But, yeah.
Yeah, or, like, fight for it together. Like, this idea, like any
and
person could
die
at
any
time
on
the show.
Especially at the end
when
she went on his side. Especially at the end, though,
yes.
She agreed to do what he wanted, but yet they're still separating.
Yes.
So,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes, and you don't have time to be separated on the show because, like, this is why Morgan's looking for Grace.
Later.
They will.
Yeah.
It's only Texas.
Well,
it's like as big as Rhode Island.
It's
like they live in like this small town, and you like keep. It's like you break up with your ex, and you have to see them on the street all the time.
Uh-huh.
It's Texas. It's not that big. Yeah. So. Anyway, so did you see the promo for next week?
I'm trying to remember. Oh well, wait.
Luciana.
I'm getting to. Oh yeah.
Luciana apparently is still making, like, I'm kind of disappointed we haven't seen Luciana in a long, long, long time because she was not at Humbug Gulch, right? She, remember, like, way back in last season, she agreed to stay and keep making gasoline if they stopped, like, enforcing child labor or whatever the hell was going on there?
She stayed and did what Jenny wanted.
Her, yeah, we haven't seen her for many, many episodes, which I like... She's so underused, and she's like a season two character, right? But she's back, looking filthy. Apparently, she works in the oil refinery with I don't know who else, and she's filthy.
I wasn't really sure
and
what else was going on. I'm forgetting who else they showed, but it was hard to tell what was going on.
I forget who else is in it also. I remember Alicia being in it. Not Alicia. I remember Luciana. Maybe Alicia. Who else haven't we seen? We haven't seen Luciana. Alicia, we haven't seen her in a couple weeks. We have to go back to Alicia. She's basically the star of the show.
What I was trying to figure out, though, is they had, in the credits this week, they had, I don't know. I know that Karen David was in the credits. So I was why wasn't she in the episode?
Who's Karen
Grace.
David?
Grace.
Oh, she plays Grace. Oh, well,
maybe
once you're elevated to full season cast. Once you're elevated to full cat regular cast, you just get in it every week. Right?
Oh, in the credits every week. I don't always pay attention, so I just noticed she was.
Well, I don't know. I don't always pay attention either. I look at the little cutout, which was, you know, they showed that like black and white silhouette thing, and it was Sherry and Dwight. I don't always read the whole cast either, but I think people who are full season regular, like, get to be in the cast.
They might.
Get
I thought it was after the fact over the screen, but I don't remember. But that
I
was
think
the other
they
thing.
Do
it.
It
was.
Do not spoil who's in and who's not. Like, if they don't put her in and then they put her in, then you know this episode Morgan finds her. So I think they put full season regulars in every episode to not give clues.
That makes sense. But what I was going to say, though, I thought was kind of dumb is I know they changed the opening credits a lot, but to me it was very obvious right away when Dwight got grabbed and he was yelling for her that, I don't know, I figured right away she was with whoever it was that was grabbing him. But it's
They
put it in the opening credits of somebody who looked like Dwight holding the hand of somebody with a mask. And I'm like, well,
yeah.
Now we definitely know that.
Yeah, okay, we know she's a masker, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that was dumb.
Yeah. So, anything else? I mean, I think you summed it up best. It wasn't like it wasn't the worst episode. It was weaker, but it wasn't like
but at least
horrible. Yeah, some stuff happened. Right. I mean, we're so conditioned to how bad this show can be that we know it's not, you know.
Yes, but yeah, we keep watching all these
This
shows.
Is not that bad. Yeah.
No, but yeah, it was okay. So, it's been good this season. I mean, it hasn't been the best, but it's been pretty good. Especially
it's way better. It's so much better than it was. It's so much better.
Yeah.
I don't, like, hate myself for watching it like I used to.
Yeah. No, I get that. All right.
So,
well, I think...
Speaking of hating myself,
let's
talk about World Beyond.
Oh, my God. Okay, so I watched the last two tonight, and, like, I should have just skipped the first one. Okay, I was making jokes, though, because I was saying it took them so damn long to make a raft, and I thought, yeah, but then lost. So I started laughing after that. But it's like the whole episode was them building the damn boat. Like, we could have done without the whole episode. We got a couple flashbacks, which, let's be honest, were pretty crappy. And
yeah.
You know, was there a clip after that one? I wonder if I cut it off early. Because
there was no clip last week.
The new episode
I don't think
had...
there was any clip.
Okay. Okay, because this week had one. That's what I was going to say. But yeah, I mean, I feel like nothing happened the whole episode other than a couple flashbacks of, what's his
Elton.
Name? Elton. Which we now know is named after Elton John. But other than his flashbacks, most of which were pretty boring, like the whole episode was them building the boat and fighting over it. And okay, now they're mad at Elton because he was helping them. But like nothing happened, but they got in the boat. Like, I don't know. Did you feel like that? I felt like the whole thing was a waste. And I couldn't.
So they're literally trying to cross. Is it the Mississippi River they're trying to cross? I don't think they could have gotten that far yet. It's some other river. They couldn't have walked away to the
Mississippi
River yet.
I could be.
Well, they did say it because, like, Huck, we learned that Huck was found drifting down a river on a raft, and so they named her Huck. That's her nickname, which was kind of dumb and obvious, except there was this part where Huck's like, listen, it sounds really cool, but I almost died, blah, blah. Like, she's the only person on the show who seems to have any real experience out there in the world. I mean,
mm-hmm.
Right? And she doesn't really seem to take the lead or tell people what to do. She should be the head of their defense force, not Felix, right?
Yeah, but now she's telling Hope that it could be an adventure because they'll learn who they are. I'm not sure that's the smartest.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Smartest idea. But anyway, my point was that episode, nothing happened. I mean, I got absolutely nothing from that.
Yeah.
I didn't.
Well, you're right, because the whole point is building the boat and just
mean,
like you said with last.
Bad, per se, but nothing happened. It was like the high school
episode.
The show
was bad.
Like, the whole thing was like a bottle episode.
Yes, it was kind of like you said, like, you know, we were saying, like, the murder that John Dory was investigating didn't really matter. It was just sort of a means to an end. This boat didn't really matter. It was just a project for this week. It was the project of the week.
Yeah, but
and they had
the
to, like,
was written well, though. It's the difference.
Yes. and so everything that goes wrong can, and there's like lightning striking the exact place it needs to strike, and there's walkers, and they spill the nail polish and all this mess, right? To me, the worst
part. And
what
do they do? Did they pour all the nail polish into those buckets? I missed something, like how they got little bottles of nail polish into those big buckets.
They pour all these bottles of nail polish into these buckets because they needed some flammable material to create a spark to start the engines. It made no sense either. Made no sense
no,
to
I
me
got
that.
That. I just didn't get how they got them into the bucket with it not taking very long unless they stood there and dumped them all.
No. They showed the boys, like, opening the bottles and dumping them, but
okay,
given that I have nail polish in my house and you have nail polish in your house,
I was also watching that one on the way home in the car, so it was kind of not as easy to keep paying attention. But
if you took all the nail polish in your house, how long would it take you to open all those bottles and pour them?
Yeah, that's
and
kind
you
of
would
my
probably
point,
get
yeah.
like there's like 2 tablespoons of nail polish in a bottle, right? There's like very small. It's like half an ounce.
Somehow they got 3 buckets or something.
Yeah, you're right. It was kind of silly. And to me the worst part was when they're like, we need someone small to crawl down there, and I'm like, oh god, it's going to be claustrophobic. Like any time on any Walking Dead show that a person has to crawl in somewhere. Remember when Carol was suddenly claustrophobic last year when they had to go in a cave? Like, never been claustrophobic ever. In all of her badassness hiding in places, all of a sudden she's claustrophobic. Like, they locked her in a cell. So I knew Elton was going to be claustrophobic.
I guess he was supposed to be claustrophobic because of what happened to him. But still, it was dumb.
I do think there so... That's a good segue, Jamie, to the flashback about Elton, which was kind of a terrible flashback.
His father was dead and he was scared, but I felt like they could have told us everything in those flashbacks in like a quarter of the time it took to show it.
And it was all very happy family in Jurassic Park and blah, blah, blah. And it did take way too long. And it really bothers me the way this show keeps pushing this idea all society fell in one night. Like, they're sitting in the science museum, like visiting dad's office being blah, blah, blah. And the mother goes, oh, I have to go. I have a meeting. Everything is so normal that she's like, I have to go to a meeting. She's like freaking like getting her PhD going to a meeting, right? And then within like a couple hours, everything's over. And they keep talking about the night the sky fell. Whereas on the other shows, like, so on the flagship show, Rick goes into a coma, wakes up 30 days later, society has been gone for, you know.
Yeah, and it made
and we've learned on Walking Dead that it took some time. And then Fear the Walking Dead was introduced to show us. And do you remember
which
like,
they really
kind
of didn't, but yeah.
They kind of did. Like, I remember, like, in the early parts of that show, Nick was looking at YouTube videos, like, look at these crazy guys on YouTube. What is, like, it was creeping, and then it came. And remember they lived in their community, and they were locked in for a little while by the National Guard, and they couldn't really get out. And they, like, Fear didn't do a good job of what it promised, but it did show us that it wasn't a one-night thing. It wasn't, like, Night of the Living Dead, and suddenly it all happens, right? Like, there was
which definitely makes it like.
And this show keeps insisting the night the sky fell. Like, I guess everybody in Omaha, Nebraska was just like, do-do-do-do-do, we have no idea what's going on in the world. We don't use the internet. We don't watch the news. Oh, my God, society ends tonight. Right? Like, that bothered me a lot about the – it bothered me so much when the mother says I'm going to a meeting and, like, 6 hours later, it's all over.
Yeah.
I just
don't
understand how –
just the way the kids talk about it because they were younger. That's really the only, which still doesn't make sense.
Well, you know what, Jamie?
But I mean, that's kind of the only thing I can think of.
So that's a really good point that I had never considered, and it and maybe is not being well done, but is Elton an unreliable narrator? And is his flashback the flashback of us?
That's what I mean, because all of them, they were so young. I mean, that was the night their lives changed. So maybe to them, they refer to it that way. I don't know.
Like,
it's still kind of dumb, but it makes a little bit more sense in that sense.
Well, to your point, a child would not have been aware of news reports of an outbreak and of people doing this and that, right? Like, a child would not be aware of
it. Yeah, all they know is their family's
it.
Dead and they have nowhere to go. I mean, that's,
yeah.
To them,
but
that
I think
is
they're
the
not
the
presenting. They're not presenting these flashbacks in the way that there's an unreliable narrator. They're presenting these flashbacks as the fact, right?
Yeah, no, I agree with you. They're not doing it right, but.
I think, how do you feel about the whole Elton and his mom, Iris and her, Hope and her mom business?
You know, I kind of feel like Hope should tell him. I kind of get that she's not, but it's kind of like, I don't know, it's just hanging there, and I don't know that it's as interesting as it was at the beginning. I mean, eventually he's going to find out. He's going to hate her. Eventually he'll get over it. I mean, we know it's coming. I kind of feel like maybe it'd be better to do it sooner rather than later. But, I mean, he's a smart kid. He should know that she didn't do it intentionally when she was little. I kind of think it would have made more sense if maybe she had already told everybody the story of what happened before she knew it was him, you know, because then she could have been like, hey, you know that story I told you? Rather than now she has to admit not only that it was her, but what she did, which the only person who knows is her sister. So, yeah. And now she's, like, being all nice and, like, I'll read her book and everything, and then that's just going to make that seem worse.
Yeah. I mean, I agree and I disagree. I agree with you that she's eventually going to tell him that it's going to come out, and I think that marble around her neck is going to, he's going to recognize it, right? I think she shouldn't tell him. I think no good can come, like, no one would ever find out unless she tells him, because no one knows. No one would ever know.
Well, I figure like maybe
and
her
what
sister
could,
will say something or not knowing, you know, because I don't think.
What good
I don't,
can
I
come
think
from
tell,
him
but I
knowing?
I think probably he'll find out more likely. But yeah, you're right.
There's no good that can come from it because let's remember that his mother shot first, right? His mother shot first. Mm-hmm. His mother killed Iris's mother, Hope's mother, Hope and Iris's mother.
Yeah.
And Hope shot her maybe by mistake, maybe on purpose as a child. Like I don't know. I think it's. I'm also, like, I feel like they're becoming a little too heavy-handed with the childhood trauma business. I get it. Traumatized. I mean, I think Elton being with his parents and they were killed is an interesting, I don't know. The idea of Silas having to killing his father in maybe self-defense or whatever happened there is a little bit of more interesting kind of trauma because it's like everybody has some zombie trauma. Like everybody has some zombie trauma. Like
I still feel like Hope she would have gotten over though, because she was a little kid when she did it. It wasn't like she intentionally wanted to kill the lady. I mean, no, Grant, you know, it's like, trauma. Don't get me wrong, but I mean, I feel like she would have forgiven herself or should have forgiven herself by now, and I don't know.
Well, I mean, I feel like if Carl and Enid and Alpha's daughter, who is maybe the most traumatized person on the entire three shows,
yeah,
because they're not showing us what they did in the comic book, which was she was also repeatedly raped. Like, if those kids have trauma also, and I don't know. Like, they're really playing into that. I don't know. Elton's trauma... I also felt like, so in the end, Elton comes out of the box, and by the way, like, these soldiers come in and kill everyone, right? And Elton never says, like, hello, hello, and then he goes out, and his father is dead, and he walks right past him, and he's supposed to be
well, his father was
he's
a
very
zombie.
Small.
Yeah,
I know,
but
he doesn't scream, he doesn't cry, he doesn't...
He should have done something, but you're right. They killed them, potentially. That's probably what happened. I mean, we don't really
yes.
know for sure.
Yes.
Because, like I said, his
well,
father
and
had turned, but it seems like they killed
yes,
him.
Yes, his father had turned was a zombie, but Elton is about 7 years old and has never seen a zombie ever in his life before and doesn't know what it is. The idea that he, like, walks right past him and doesn't even say, oh, my God, Daddy, doesn't hug him, doesn't, like, betray any. Like, I just felt
oh,
like,
good, but yeah.
I don't know, it felt like he was already... hardened to it and cynical in a way that I'm not sure I...
You're right, because even if he knew he was dead, he would have, like, I mean, any kid would have been like, no, and tried to, you're right, tried to shake him, tried to find out what happened, not just knew he was dead and kept going.
It's like, I think it's literally the first zombie he'd ever seen, ever, right? And didn't
yeah.
know what a zombie was, just saw his dad shot dead and looking, yeah, it just, I don't know, I get that they're trying to establish some backstories for these kids, and most of their backstory is uninteresting because raised on a college campus in a little gilded cage and totally helpless is not an interesting backstory. So let's give them their original
yeah,
trauma.
The
I get
is,
it, right?
We're
How
having,
can it be so boring?
But I was thinking about it. Like, we never had this many flashbacks in that in the regular shows, I don't think. I mean, they told the stories, but you found out the stories. It wasn't, like, all total flashback. There's, like, too many. I don't know. They're just doing it the wrong way that it's making too many flashbacks. At least I
we have
like
no
that.
Flashbacks on the other shows. Like, when did we
That's
ever
what,
have
I mean,
flashback
we did
on this
once
shows?
In a great while, but not often. Because, like, I was going to say that, and then I
yeah.
thought of what about Michonne, and we saw, like, her
yeah.
pets or whatever.
Yeah.
But we didn't get a lot of that, and I think that we don't need it. Like, I want to know about what's going on with the zombies, not what happened to these kids before.
Well, yeah.
But maybe...
So I'm trying to,
the next
I'm trying
episode,
to think if anything else happened
anything
in this stupid boat episode. The stupid boat episode was just...
Because really. I saw it right before, and I was, like, thinking, oh, well, that was a waste of time. I could have just skipped it.
Well, I think I texted you. I was like, you could probably fast forward
yeah.
to a whole bunch of the stuff, right?
Yeah. Well, I realize
it doesn't help. I mean, this show is just so slow. Like, the pacing is so slow, right? And so pacing within the episodes is slow, but pacing for, like, there's only four
yeah.
episodes left this season. Like, do we need a whole episode of building a boat? Like, if they can find everything they need, if they can find 2 gallons of nail polish, can they just find a freaking boat that works?
Yeah.
Right? And move it along?
Yeah.
Like, you know, like you said, a bottle episode. Like, every episode's a bottle episode. I mean, it's not
mm-hmm.
a bottle really a bottle episode, but it's kind of a bottle episode. Right? It's not
yeah.
a true bottle episode, but they do have
no,
these very...
But it's...
Like
all
isolated
about one
things
thing in one area. Yeah.
Yeah. They go to like, they go to one place. They do this one thing. They, you know, given that there's only 20 episodes and they're trying to introduce so much like mythology, it you know, I mean, something's got to happen. There's only 4 episodes left and they haven't
yeah.
killed a zombie yet. Can't do anything yet. They'd sit
well,
around and like, I mean, it's very teenagery, I guess, if they sit around and they music plays
yeah.
and there's voiceover and they hug each other and it's all very, like,
yeah, what's up with
10 years ago
voiceover?
CW-ish.
Don't keep doing it. Yeah. That yeah. being said, I was going to say, unless you have anything else about this episode.
Uh-uh. No,
I actually liked the second episode, was what I was going to say. I thought it was a lot better. It moved a lot faster. I mean, it's still, in the scheme of things, not a whole lot happened other than the, you know, these are very case of the week type thing. But I enjoyed the story better. I was slightly surprised. I thought it was going to end up that the kid was totally lying and he needed them to help him steal the truck. I mean, I figured something was up, but I didn't think the whole thing per se was a scam at first. I kind of like, I don't know, overall I like the story. I mean, like I said, not a lot happened, but it was definitely a more more interesting story, I thought. I don't know, what did you think?
So I think it moved faster and stuff happened in a more believable way. Like, we didn't spend a whole episode building a boat, which they should honestly not even know how to do. Have they ever seen a river before? They literally have never seen a river in their lives, right? They lived on a college campus their entire lives.
Right.
They've never seen a boat before.
Knows how to make alcohol. Suddenly she can build an engine.
Well, yeah.
But, you know, it's neither here nor there. But I don't know.
So
I thought this episode was decent, even if the story didn't really move along, because it didn't.
I thought this episode was better. I thought it was patently obvious from the moment that kid Percy spoke that he was lying, right?
Yeah, I just figured he was trying to get him to help him steal it.
Well, I mean, I thought that he was trying to steal their stuff and have friends at the beginning, and then it looked like he was alone, and in the end it turned out he was trying to steal their stuff and had an uncle, right?
I thought that his story was fake at first just because he was making up shit. And then she's like, no, wait, he stole your truck. And I'm like, okay. I still figured it wasn't his truck at any rate, but.
There's no way he was out there with no stuff and no weapon and somebody stole his shit and he's perfectly clean and everything's fine, right? I mean, I do think it was kind of believable that the kids are gullible. They've never been out in the world. They've never met people. They don't know what it's like to try to survive. Like you and I, having watched all these zombie shows,
we know a little bit about it.
You can't, well, we know from watching these shows, at least, you can't trust anyone you meet. Don't trust anyone. And the fact that these kids are immediately like, whatever, you know. Hope being the more savvy one catches on. But what really is shocking is that Felix is not more savvy to the whole, that, I mean, I feel like if Huck was, like, has Felix ever been outside? Has Felix ever lived in the world? I think Felix maybe, then after the night he didn't kill his parents, he went back to the campus and stayed there, right? Maybe if Huck was there, Huck would have been like, you're a lying sack of shit, forget it. But, like, I couldn't believe that Felix trusted this guy.
Well, maybe he intended to steal the truck off of him at the end. We really don't know.
I don't know.
I mean, it could have been in his head.
I don't know. Or did Felix not trust him, but the way Felix defers to the children all the time is a little bit annoying also, but, you know,
the kids would help him whether he helped them or not. There's also that, and it was safer for him to be the one to do it.
I mean, I did like that Hope saw through him pretty quick. I mean, Hope is a bit more, I don't want to call her worldly, but she's a little smarter and more savvy than the other kids. And she quickly catches on that his story is full of holes and he's lying, right? But then he tells another story. I thought the whole deal when they go to steal a truck is completely, that's like a Rick Grimes level of stupid plan, right?
Rick Grimes has guns and people with him that are a little smarter and older, but yeah.
I read like a Reddit thread today where people were like, these kids literally cannot kill even one zombie, and now they're going to go into like a better defended position and go against these two, who Percy has described as two kind of like rough guys, and they're going to have four children and Felix go in there and somehow steal the car keys from these two guys who are like in a secure position. You know, it was just like a dumbass plan from the jump.
It was.
That never should have.
You know what? This has nothing to do with anything, but the one thing I thought was pretty smart, you never see them do in TV, they always have people hot-wiring cars, and these guys are smart and put a metal plate, you know, over the place you hot-wire it. Why don't people do that more often?
Yeah.
I mean, maybe it makes it so you can't get into emergency. I don't know, but it seems like a smart plan to me.
And it was pretty smart because, like, Percy and his uncle, I mean, assuming that panel is really there, like Percy says, oh, no, there's a panel, you can't hotwire it. Well, what does Iris know? Like, Iris, of course, is like,
No,
what are we going to do, right? Maybe it's there, maybe it's not, but even if they put it there, that's pretty smart. Or maybe the CRM put it there. It is
true,
very smart, you're right.
CRM vehicle. But yeah, but he added it like said it like they did it, but he was lying, so we don't know.
Yeah. It was a terrible, stupid plan. And then it turns out that these two robbers, Percy and his uncle, actually have a heart of gold. They're good people, and they come back. But we can't let them get eaten by zombies. You know, the idea that Iris is the first person ever to go back for Percy, he decides they can't let them die. And
I could believe she's the first person that ever did that, though. I could believe that. Most people...
Yeah, I can believe that. I can believe that.
Shit.
I do like how Iris and Hope are like, oh, we should give you a medal for that. Like,
yeah,
oh,
like,
so you came back for us.
Tell it as it is. Like, you're not... Like, I'm not going to forgive you anytime soon.
Mm-hmm.
What is that guy from, though? He's from something I know, but I couldn't figure out what it was. I know I've definitely seen the older guy before.
I mean, I think a little too much was made of him being a magician. He's a magician and a con man in Vegas. I think he was a magician in Vegas. I think, like, I mean, I see more of, like, a Lost Sawyer-type con man being able to pull the stuff off. But a lot is made of him being in Vegas and being a performer and being an actor is what gives him this ability. I don't know. It's an interesting con. Like, I believe that people survive by conning others. Like, we've seen that in these shows. And I believe, yeah, you get away by conning. And I do believe could be, like, we really don't like to kill people if we don't have to. Much like even Morgan and Strand don't like to.
But they went to kind of a big con just to do that.
It felt a little watered down and touchy-feely to me, right? And a little, like, I'm sorry, no one's alive who has never killed anyone, right? Not on this show. Not in this universe,
well,
I mean.
Kid,
and it just,
an adult,
it felt
though.
A little, it felt a little, I don't, a little bit too feel good. I think maybe the uncle is still not to be trusted. I kind of hope he's not to be trusted because I'd like there to be a good twist on this show and have some good storytelling. And, like, I think these kids need to learn, like, I'm not sure what they've learned from being outside in the world yet. Like
not much.
They just like they were never taught to kill a zombie. They were never taught that people will do anything and say anything to survive, and that you can't really trust people you meet outside. Like who?
I feel like Felix should stop them and teach them how to kill a zombie now. Even would make sense.
I don't understand why Felix is basically letting the kids lead. And he's like, why has he not conducted, like, do you remember kind of early on in Walking Dead, I think it was at Herschel's Farm season 2, but they did teach everyone how to shoot, and they took everyone outside and were like, here's a gun, how you shoot it, how you load it, let's try to, like, people on Walking Dead had, like, training. People on Fear the Walking Dead had training. Like, I think Jamie, that's a huge point. Like, why is Felix not going to be like, okay, let me teach you how to kill a freaking zombie because you've almost been killed so many times. Like
yeah,
Iris falls in a dumpster.
Dumb enough they didn't at the school, but now they need to.
Yeah. I can't believe Iris fell in a dumpster.
Training.
Yeah. Like, you knew there were zombies in the dumpster, right? And she's not able to kill even one of them. Like, a dumpster is full of garbage weapons, right? Like, can't you kill, that zombie's probably been in there for 6 years, and its head is as soft as a watermelon. And all you can do is bang it.
She's old. Like sometimes it's like when they do that, like they make them so inept. Like they're younger than they are. Like I feel like even if you didn't know how to kill a zombie, a person that age should know how to fight back at least. Like even Silas, like he punched the shit out of that one zombie, and yeah, okay, maybe that isn't the best idea, but at least he knew how to fight back against something, like didn't just stand there and freeze all the time.
I like to think that a person whose life is in imminent danger, that person would instinctively fight back and not just be like, Felix, I'm in a dumpster, right? Like how can she not reach for something and like
the writers.
I don't know how, I don't understand how these kids can repeatedly not go for the headshot and just not. It's a little annoying. They have now been...
Because she had her weapon when she fell, I think, still. I mean, maybe she dropped it, but I think she had it still when she fell.
If they're at the Mississippi River and they've crossed it, they've been walking for weeks. It's not just, like, a couple days from Omaha, right? Like,
Yeah, I know. Whenever I was going to say, whenever Hope told that guy, she's like, you couldn't have been that far, and she figured out the car. That's what I'm thinking at first. Yeah, on this show, they can.
On these shows,
they could travel a long way in a short amount of time. They don't need a car.
I thought I thought it was kind of a weak episode. I thought it was just not, you know. We did have some more.
Was good, but it was still had its weak points. I mean, it definitely still had problems.
Yeah. I mean, we had a little more Elton and Hope and Iris, you know. We were teased that Hope might tell Elton that in this episode. She's about to tell him, I think, in this episode. This is when she says she wants to read the book, I think, in this episode.
And then she kind of like. But that's what I said. If she does all that and then he finds out, it's going to make it even worse. Like, well, you were only nice to me because you felt bad. Like, which makes sense. He would think that because that is why she did it.
And you know, I think she's taking, they are putting a lot on her. Like, they're really putting it on, like, Hope killed Elton's mother. This is horrible. And I got to keep remembering, wait, his mother killed her mother. Like there's that also, right? Like, it's not his fault that his mother did it, but it's not like she wasn't reacting.
It's not like really her fault either.
Yeah.
Well, I guess if they were older, maybe they'd understand that a little better, too.
Yeah. So there was a post-credit scene. Before we talk about it, I would like to mention that I read an article that was about the ratings today. So this was a very low rated. So they had fewer than 800,000 viewers for this episode. It was the lowest. They're like down 50% from the season premiere of this episode. I think they're down 800,000 from the premiere. They only had 700,000 this week. So they're down by half. They're down lower than the lowest ever Walking Dead. Like, I just read this article about how the numbers are so bad for this show. And given that it's planned to go for two seasons, like, are they just going to air it no matter how bad it gets? Are they going to, like,
okay, but it's still probably making the money, even if it's not as much as the other one.
Well, I mean, given that there's a pandemic and they probably have nothing to replace it with, there's that, right?
There's that, yeah.
I did read that AMC made a calculated. The reason that we're watching all three shows, like we saw Walking Dead season finale, and then we saw Fear in this show airing all kind of together within the month of October, is that AMC made a calculated decision. They wanted to boost their viewership in the fourth quarter of the year so that when they report their numbers and their money, they wanted to make money in the end of the year.
Yeah, and everybody's been doing bad because of the pandemic.
They could have aired Fear next season to give pandemic people something to look forward. Like, we're all stuck at home. They could have dragged. They didn't have to air these two shows simultaneously. They could have staggered the content so we'd have stuff to watch. But they chose to air it together to goose the numbers, which is fine. It's a business, right? But World Beyond is underperforming. I think. I mean, they obviously didn't think they'd get 700,000 viewers. That's not why they're airing it, right?
Right, but if they had stretched, it might be worse. Although, World Beyond, they had already moved because of the pandemic anyway.
Yeah. I don't think there's any way this show gets canceled, no matter how bad it does, because I think...
Yeah,
I talked
to
you last
week
about this. I don't think we're watching a show that exists for its own reason. I think we're watching a show that is a prequel to the movies, which will take us into the...
Yeah, and it's to tie up some of the...
Right?
The
like, the show... This show has to air not because it's a show that deserves to air, but because it's part of an event.
Yeah.
And the event.
Yeah, but I think they've already.
Coming, right?
I mean, I think AMC's already like optioned it for that year, so I don't think. I mean, I guess they could still take it off, but I don't think
episodes.
They will.
Next year is it's already optioned for next year. There's no way, no matter. I mean, those episodes aren't shot, so in theory, if it was really bad, they could cancel it and not air that. But they never will do that, right? It's part of a larger web.
Because they need that information, you're right, before the movie and everything else. They need people to see what happens.
Yeah, all three of these shows are moving towards an end game and needs to be there. And so speaking of that, you watched that final, like, CRM scene that was aired?
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think about that?
I don't know. I was wondering if it was implying that their father's dead, or at least that he's not there, because why is she looking at his you know,
I thought it implied that
letter,
he was alive.
Yeah.
I thought it implied that the phone call implied that he was alive, I thought, because on the phone call, she said, like, yeah, Dr. His name is Leon.
Oh, that's right.
She said he,
that's right. That was his name, huh? I forgot that was his name.
Yeah.
I was going to say, at the beginning, I was thinking that because I was thinking, why did she read them? But then that's right. They called about him. Yeah, I mean, he's involved in something, I would say it also implies.
I mean,
but,
it implies, I thought it implied that he might not be alive for very long. Like she said, he won't
well,
be a problem.
Yeah.
And the other thing it implied is that they know the kids are coming, which didn't really surprise me.
Yeah,
but she said, yeah, I'll take care before they get here, right?
Yeah, and it sounded like she might have been talking to Julia Ormond's character.
Yeah, because she called her, like, Lieutenant General or something, right?
Yeah, yeah. I told you I thought from the beginning she sent them there on purpose. We kind of screwed about that, and I think we'll see how that happens. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, maybe they're a key to something. Maybe he'll only do what he's going to do if they're there and they're safe. I mean, who knows? But they keep airing those little teases. It's like they have another.
Yeah, I mean, it didn't surprise me when they – when she says, "Oh, I'll take care," you know, won't be a problem by the time. Something about by the time they get here.
Yeah.
Like, it implies that she knows the kids are coming. It didn't surprise
me
because we think that Julia Ormond purposely sent them, right? Like she gave them a map, and she's like, "Oh, I'm drunk," but you and I had this conversation, and you're like, "I think it was you were like, there's no way she totally gave them a map. She wasn't drunk. She did it on purpose."
Yeah.
Like, she wants them to go to New York.
Curious what her end game is, but yeah.
What I don't understand is if you want them to go to New York to see their father, why would you send them in a way that they will probably get killed and never get there? Like, the chances that they can walk all the way from Omaha to New York without getting killed are pretty slim, right? So if
well,
you
maybe
want
that
them
was the
to
only
get
way
there.
Get them there. Yeah, I don't know. I still kind of wonder that maybe she did that to save them and that something's going on we don't think it is and that she snuck and did that, but I mean there's no way to know that
before she killed 10,000 people.
Yeah, I think but she didn't, I mean, I'm not saying that's right she did that, but she definitely didn't seem too happy about it. But yeah, I think that like she got them out there ahead of time, and I think that that was like their only chance to get them out, and so she took it even if it wasn't
so here's an idea. I just thought of this right now. So Percy and his uncle have a CRM truck, and they have access to a CRM fuel depot. And they're like,
oh, so
they come with us.
They found them on purpose to help them get there safely.
I don't,
that would make
I don't
a
know.
Lot of sense.
I just thought
that
of that right now. What do you, right? It
yeah,
makes a lot of sense of why they had the
sense.
Truck and how easy it was. I mean, it does
well,
seem.
Well, they run into people so easy on these shows. It's hard to tell. But, yes, it does seem contrived.
Yeah. I mean, it does seem contrived also that if you're trying to help them, you would have this con going on where you try to trick them and you steal their stuff, but you come back with it. Like, it's all kind of stupid. Like, couldn't you just meet them on the road and they'd be nice people? What, right? Like, what are these kids now?
Yeah,
it
but
does
it kind
seem
of,
a little...
in a way, I was going to say, well, if they helped them, they would, but it's just, in a way, it kind of even more guarantees they'll trust them a little bit because they saved them, but... Yeah, I
well,
don't know.
And maybe
she sent
guarantees...
somebody and they got killed. I mean, we don't know.
Yeah, or maybe it guarantees that Felix is the one you got to watch out for. The kids are a little more gullible, but Felix and Huck supposedly need a little more. I don't know. Maybe it's not a coincidence that they ran into somebody with a CRM truck. I don't know.
Yeah.
I just love that.
That's really
but,
interesting. No, that's a good idea. We'll have to wait and see, I guess.
Yeah.
All right.
All right.
Anything else? I think that's about it.
No,
I didn't
watch anything this week. I didn't think about anything that was sci-fi-ish or other than the shows we were going to do next, but there was no next on this week, so.
Well, there is today, but it was the same one, so.
It was episode 3. There's not even one on, it's not even on on demand right now. Episode 3 has gone off on demand right now.
Oh, well, that might have been because they re-aired it. A lot of times they'll take it off and put it back on with the commercials or without the commercials or whatever.
Yeah.
So
it's on air tonight,
but,
right? So we'll episode 3 aired tonight. So we won't talk next week about next. We'll have 2 weeks until we talk about next.
Yeah, because we've already discussed that one, as far as I know. So.
Yeah. So we're just Walking Dead again next week, I guess.
No. So Historic Materials is back on Monday or Tuesday, right?
Yeah, we have
so
that.
So we'll add that. It airs Monday,
yeah.
So we'll talk about it on Tuesday.
I got a couple episodes left. I got to remember to watch. I hadn't finished it.
Yeah, I just want to re-catch up on how it ended before we... I'm going to watch that this weekend. So other than that, nothing too exciting or new. I haven't watched anything.
No, I'm still watching The Fall. I told you that. I started that and finished
it. Oh, yeah,
that.
I know you like The Fall. Yeah, it's supposed to be fantastic.
Yeah, I had been wanting to watch it for a long time. I never got around to it, and I just one night decided to start it. So,
okay.
Yeah,
so, by the way, the next Doctor Who lockdown is going to be Donna Noble. The actress who plays Donna is the guest, and they're asking people to suggest episodes, so that'll be the next one.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. That's right, yeah, because I hadn't, like I said,
I didn't watch it. I never watched it,
But,
so, all right.
There's going to be either a Christmas or New Year's episode. I'm not sure if they were ever told, but there is going to be a holiday episode, a new one, so that's good.
Oh, good.
That's something to look forward to. Okay,
so,
before
we go, you got anything new on the website you want to talk about, or nothing too exciting?
No, nothing really specific coming. I have been kind of busy with real life lately and haven't really gotten anything, in the past week. But there will be
Well, everyone's
coming.
Been really busy with real life lately, so
yeah,
we hear you.
Yeah, this is true.
So
yeah.
All right.
Well,
in that case, thanks everybody for listening.
Yep.
Thanks, Roger, for hosting us. Thanks, Jamie.
Thanks, everybody.
See you guys next week. Good night.
Okay, have a good night. Bye-bye.
Bye.